Choo-choo!
This is the Meteor Club Podcast, a weekly roundtable discussion about all things Meteor.
Welcome to the Meteor Club Podcast. I am your host, Josh Owens, along with my other bearded co-host.
Yo, yo, what's up, guys?
Ben. Benjamin. Wait, no, it's Benjamin. You said Benjamin in the last one. I'm going to go with that.
Benjamin Strait. And yo, with us today, we got Paul Dowman from OK Grow and Colby Williams. What's up, guys?
What's up?
Paul, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thanks. So I run a development agency called OK Grow, and we build Meteor apps for clients. We've been doing Meteor for about a year and a half. And myself, I've been doing various web development type things for about 20 years now. I think this is my 20-year anniversary.
Is there like an awkward like high school reunion for that or something?
No, but funny enough, I'm still good friends with some of the first people that I worked with. So yeah.
Nice.
Very cool. And Colby Williams, tell us about yourself, man.
Yeah, sure. So I'm actually a self-taught developer. I've been learning Meteor now, I guess, for a little over a month at least. And I came from trying to learn Rails, but once I found Meteor, I fell in love. I learned more in like a week of jumping into Meteor than I did in like a month or two of doing Rails. And I was like, this is great. So yeah, I do blogging and YouTubing, and I love to kind of teach what I've learned. So I just kind of learn new topics and then share them with people in my own.
Nice. Stuff. Nice. And you're YouTube famous too, right?
Yeah, I guess you can say that. In some circles, I came from, I did mostly League of Legends videos for a long time, a lot of gaming stuff. So my channel is big in that before I decided to jump back into programming.
Nice. Awesome. Very all right. Cool. So, yeah, I don't know. Like this topic, somebody wants to get a hold of me. This topic kind of came up, kind of ad hoc in the Meteor Club Slack chat room. So, Colby, like he said, he jumped in probably about a month ago and, started learning, and he was in the Slack chat room, Meteor Club Slack chat room. And, it's just been kind of awesome to watch him kind of level up in there and learn and go from being, a noob to like teaching other people now, right? So that's pretty awesome. And I thought we could talk just about like your learning experience and how that's been for you, and maybe even compare to like mine and Paul's and Ben's learning experience as well.
Sure.
So what how did you like what drove you to Meteor, I guess, Colby?
Yeah, he froze for me.
Can you guys hear me?
Josh Rue, your internet is dying.
You're back.
Am I back?
You got that red connection.
Yeah. Quit streaming Kobe's YouTube videos, dude. Yeah, cut back.
Can you guys hear me okay? Okay.
Yeah, the all video right, is pretty bad and choppy, so you're probably going to be like...
Yeah. I was just saying, you know, what's your learning... Like, what drove you to Meteor, and what's that getting started experience been like for you, Colby?
Yeah, so it's kind of interesting the way I got into Meteor. I was actually looking for some Rails jobs, and I had a guy who said, well, I think Meteor is the future, so if you can learn Meteor in a week and build an app, then you know, maybe I'll talk about hiring you. But I said, okay, I'm up for the challenge, and I jumped in, and there's some pretty good resources out there already for Meteor, even though it is, you know, it just came out as 1.0 in January. So I jumped in, and, you know, I was looking for the tutorials that I could find to get started in building an app pretty quick. And, you know, I was looking, there's obviously the old school stuff. I noticed there was a lot of people doing the leaderboard example, but I found the Discover Meteor book and decided to use that as my learning resource for kind of getting in and doing everything. You know, a lot of the resources coming from Rails, I felt a little weird at first jumping into Meteor, because it's a little less structured when you're looking at a lot of the tutorials. We see a lot of people, they can do pretty much a whole app in one file, which is pretty cool, but also a little weird for me, because I'm like, where do I put my models and my controllers? And like, you know, it's like trying to figure all that stuff out. But Meteor is actually really simple. But I was like, I want to know how to do like a full app. So when I jumped into Discover Meteor book, I found that was really helpful for me because they do kind of level it up and they show you the different folder structures you got to do and jump into some of the stuff. It's kind of where I learned, well, wow, a lot of Meteor is all in packages, you know? So you kind of pull in whatever it is you want to do. If you want to do a simple app where you push a button, then that's really easy to do. You can do it in one file, but you know, when you start building bigger apps, it's still very easy. And there's a lot of different opinions on ways to do things, which is interesting. And you know, that can be, in one hand, hard to do as a beginner, but also it's really rewarding to be able to kind of have those options when learning. So the Discover Meteor book was great for me to jump in and learn. And the other thing that was really helpful for me is that the community is really great in Meteor. I think that maybe that's not the best. I think JavaScript in general maybe doesn't have the best reputation for having like the best community. Whereas like if you come from Ruby, you know, that's a big thing. Like they always say Ruby is the big, you know, the big on community. But I feel like that is what I'm starting to get whenever I jump into Meteor, is that the community feels like it's really very, very helpful. Like you can go in and like everything is very open. You go on, everything's package based and everyone's very open and wants to help each other out. And I think that's one of my favorite parts of learning Meteor. And that's why I was able to learn so quickly, not only because it's so simple and a lot of stuff is done for you, because there's so many different things in other languages and other frameworks that you have to learn. Whereas Meteor, it's all bundled together, and it just makes it so simple as coming in and learning as a newbie to get in there. So I know I said a lot of stuff there.
Yeah.
But I guess the main thing is that it's great to have. It is an opinionated framework, but it also is very open. So there's a lot of options for kind of doing your own thing, and so that's right. My main.
So coming in fresh with no experience, what is your take on resources that are available right now? Was there plenty? Was it easy to find? Were you able to dive in and start rocking? Or did you have to hunt around a little bit?
You know, there's, I didn't have to do a lot of hunting. I actually did find that the Meteor docs were great. And the, you know, their little starter tutorial where they have you build a to-do, it's very helpful and very in-depth to kind of get things going. And I think I actually, what I did initially was I found a post from JavaScript is Sexy, which is another blog about JavaScript stuff. And they had like a, here's the right way to learn Meteor. And essentially they just had you go through the Discover Meteor book and the Evented Mind screencast, which I actually really liked the Evented Mind screencast. They were some of the best ones that I've seen in terms of just general screencasts of any type, because, you know, it's not just like him building an app and you following along, which I don't like that type of screencast. He actually goes in and has like really in-depth, like here's how the internals of Meteor work. And I guess for me coming in, Meteor does a lot of magical stuff. And whenever I'm learning stuff, that's sometimes a little frustrating for me, because I'm like, all right, this is doing all this cool stuff, but why does it work? You know, like, and being able to like figure out why things work, even though you don't have to know that initially, is really important, I think, for figuring out how to actually really jump in and learn Meteor. So, and it's really not that hard to figure out. So once I went through some of those screencasts along with the Discover Meteor book, it was really simple for me to get the hang of things like super fast. And I was able to pick up basically every tutorial I do, every blog post I do after that. You know, I went through the Meteor in Action book later, and that has some really good descriptions on how things work. So yeah, it was really easy for me. Even though there's a huge amount of room for more resources to be developed, I think the ones that are out there right now are very helpful. The main thing is that since Meteor is moving so fast, there are some stuff out there that's outdated. So I would say anyone out there that's learning, you have to really look at the date. That's my, like, every time I look at a resource, I look at the date and see when it was published. And it's like, if it was done before like December or January, I try to stay away from that resource. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's the main thing I would say.
I'm kind of curious, like, where were you chatting other than the Meteor Club Slack chat room? And did you feel like having, hit the mute button, people that you could interact with immediately and kind of instantaneously, did you feel that that was beneficial to your learning curve, I guess?
Yeah, I think so. Like what I've learned is that the faster you can find a community of people that are doing similar to what you're doing and whatever it is that you're learning, not just Meteor, the faster it is going to be for you to learn. So I'm actually a part of a lot of different communities. I joined with the free code camp community, which they focus on the meme stack, but a lot of them do Meteor and just JavaScript in general. I'm also friends with Linda, who developed codebuddies.org, and they just do little Google Hangouts, and a lot of them do Meteor stuff. That website itself was built with Telescope, which is built in Meteor. So that's another way I actually found out about Meteor and a lot of the resources. And then just the Reddit, like the Reddit is big. And then, I jumped over Crater, there's discussions. And so there's really a lot of people talking about Meteor and a lot of communities that are excited to talk about it. So it was really easy to kind of jump in and get that help. And then obviously the most helpful for me was going into the Meteor Club Slack chat as well. So,
woohoo! Shout out.
Yeah, there's a shout out.
$50 deposited in your PayPal right now.
Sweet.
Nah, man. So, got a couple questions for you that kind of stands out. First is, I'm going to wait for that one last. So, new first one. Sorry, guys. I'm always organized. So, did you know JavaScript coming into Meteor or not?
I knew a little bit of JavaScript, but I didn't know it as well as I do now. I definitely used Meteor being pure JavaScript as my reason for really jumping in and teaching it to myself, like to the next level, learning really well how to use this and figure out all the objects and the different design patterns and all that. Because the interesting thing about learning JavaScript is it's harder to learn JavaScript and build stuff in JavaScript outside of Meteor than it is to just use Meteor, because a lot of it's already packaged up and presented to you in a very easy manner. So I guess that's something that's interesting. But yeah, JavaScript, I just knew enough to like get the syntax going, basically, because I did like the Code Academy and like Khan Academy stuff. That's pretty much the extent of the JavaScript that I had done before jumping into Meteor.
I found that there's two different types of people with learning styles. Like, some people like to learn the fundamentals of the language and really get all of that down. And some people, and those people are generally really motivated and dedicated, and they want to be really thorough about their learning. And then there's another group of people that really just need some motivation they want to feel that they're building something cool. And so it's kind of like the difference between learning from the inside out or the outside in. And I helped set up a Ruby, the first like Ruby developer boot camp here in Toronto. And this was one of the debates that we had at the beginning, was make it outside in or inside out. So in other words, do you start with like code katas where you're just doing, like write a Fibonacci sequence in this language or whatever, versus start with generate an app and just start learning the language that way, based on, so if it's learning a Meteor app, you can just generate a Meteor app and incrementally start with, Meteor create with the default app that you get, and just start incrementally improving it and just building something that you feel cool about. And if you want to focus on making it look better, because that's your strong part, yeah, do that as well. But then you can get to level up your JavaScript, in the context of building something that motivates you. So I think that's a good way to learn, but a lot of people want to go off and learn Node and learn JavaScript thoroughly. And I think that's okay, as long as you know you're the type of person that's going to stick through it.
Right. I think that's a, to me, that's a tougher way to go because I think people enjoy small victories, right? And like learning things along the way and seeing like, oh, hey, I just like accomplished this thing. And, you know, that's a big check mark on my to-do list. And like, even though it might be small or crappy in the application, like it still feels like a win at that time. And then you move on and kind of build on that. And I don't know. I definitely... Like that's definitely the way I tend to structure things when I'm teaching people because I think it's maybe a little more gamified. I don't know. Maybe that's the right term for it.
Yeah, me too. I think it just keeps up the motivation and it just feels good to build something.
Yeah. So I'd be curious, like, you know, I knew JavaScript from doing backbone work for almost 2 years before I came to Meteor. Like what about you guys, like Paul and Ben? Did you guys know JavaScript? I'm assuming Paul did, but I'm kind of curious to hear about Ben too.
Yeah,
I heard Paul didn't know anything about JavaScript.
Yeah, well, you know, like, so before this, I mean, I've done, JavaScript has always been a part of building web apps. And so even, I actually remember when like XML HTTP request first became a thing, and that was like a big revolution. But you didn't need to do it that much. And so like before doing Meteor, I was focusing on Rails for like the last 6 or 7 years before that. And so at that time, mostly, you know, page oriented, like reload the whole page apps were mostly what you did. And you put a little bit of you know, Ajax in there just for certain places where you needed to, but it wasn't like an integral part of the app. So, I had done JavaScript at that level, but really getting into Meteor was the first for me was kind of like taking that to building the entire app with JavaScript. And then at that point, you have to start thinking about things like modularity and how to structure your app, which I think, you know, the modularity part, you don't have to worry so much with Meteor. You can build things in packages, but you know, engineering a large scale app is a lot different than using jQuery and Ajax in your page.
Yeah.
Right.
Right on. For me, I was born knowing JavaScript. I don't know.
Came out of the womb just coding.
Yeah. Yeah. It was just object array string. That was my first words, not mama, dada, or poo poo. But no, I mean, I knew JavaScript before Meteor just because for years when I was in the construction industry, I would just go home and have fun learning to program. And I started off with Rails tutorials and jumped into Angular a little bit. And so with each one of those, you're jumping into JavaScript. When something came up with that, I would just go out and do a tutorial. I can't remember which ones I did. I think like lynda.com, Code Academy. I think those were the JavaScript tutorials that got me started from there. And then after that, then you're just like moving in, reading the spec, going into Mozilla and just jumping in that way. When I got into Meteor, it seemed like my understanding for JavaScript opened up. I did nothing in Node before that, and just like how Meteor was structured and everything like that, I just at that point I fell in love with JavaScript, and I was like, I want to know more, go to the next level, things like that.
So I always say, like, I give a talk about why Meteor, and to me, like, one of the things that I always bring up is the fact that JavaScript is this gateway drug, and it's like, if you come at it from a back-end experience, eventually you're going to be pushed towards the front end and having to build something maybe a little more interactive. And, you know, your clients or, you know, your boss or someone is going to say like, hey, can you make this more like Facebook or more like Twitter where things update on the page without me having to hit the refresh button? And, you know, at the same time, like designers, I think, have to know jQuery, and some of them start to rely on jQuery plugins to accomplish like fancy things on the page. And all of a sudden, like, you have this language that's being approached from both sides. And all of a sudden, like, everybody's meeting in the middle with Meteor. And they're like, holy crap, like, I can do everything in Meteor now that I know a little bit of JavaScript. Like, I can go tinker in the back end. And, you know, to me, one of the greatest success stories is the designer at Differential. He had a hell of a time trying to figure out how to get Rails to run on his machine. And then when we switched to Meteor for the first time, he never had problems. Like, he just got it. He was able to go in there and tinker with code here and there. And now it's at the point where he's built a full-fledged app on his own, front end and back end, using Meteor. And, like, no one's really, like, he'll just get advice here and there. But, you know, I think for a designer to feel comfortable to do that is like an amazing testament to me.
Yeah, that's definitely a big difference with Meteor being full stack and JavaScript on the server and the client, is that you don't really have to choose what you're going to focus on. You don't have to choose, like, yeah, I'm a back-end developer. It's not even realistic to be that, or to be just a front-end developer. Like, you're going to be full stack. And the great thing is that you can just start, you can just start, create an app or build a sample app, start with one of the sample apps and just start building something that you like. And if you want to focus on the front end things, because that's what you find working for you, then you do that. And if you want to build more back end type functionality because you like to, then that's great.
Yeah. Yeah. Nice. So, you know, I'm kind of curious, like, what, I know Paul and I started around 06. When did you start, Ben? And, like, what kind of resources did you rely on besides maybe the Discover Meteor book?
I don't, gosh, you guys said 06. I want to say I was like 054 or something like that, but I don't want to say I was before you.
No, you weren't before.
Oh, denied by Josh.
Yeah.
Smack.
Yeah. It must have been like right at the version right after Josh and Paul got involved. That's
what Discover Meteor and Evented Mind both existed back then, probably, Ben, I guess. Like,
Evented Mind around
since long before I got into Meteor.
Yeah, Evented Mind didn't exist.
Yeah, Evented Mind was like, he was much, much later, because I remember being at the first time I went out to Meteor. I can't say why I was there. I don't think we're supposed to publicly talk about it, but that's where I first met Chris, and like, he was still like just kind of sitting on Evented Mind. I think he had a couple videos, but there wasn't a ton out there.
Yeah, Discover Meteor was a big one for me, and then there was like some random blog posts out there. I didn't really touch the demos that the MDG put out, except for just the regular voting one, I think. And then past that, I was just jumping into tutorials and then right into the docs. And then I found that the docs was the thing to do, just because everything was updating rapidly at that point. It was all over the place. And so the things that I only really needed to know, like the must was the Meteor docs, figure out Meteorite, was that what Atmosphere was called back in the day?
Well, the client
packages,
right? Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So figure out Atmosphere and how that all worked. And then Iron Router. And those were the things to dive into. Things were changing rapidly enough that, you know, keeping up with those changes was enough of a job. But yeah. And that was enough to be like super powerful, get a lot of stuff done while the clients that you're working with. And I was like, man, if this is not even 1.0 and like how fast things are changing, like these guys are on top of it. Like, I got to stick with Meteor. Like, there's something going on here. So that's my story. I'm sticking to it.
Nice. So let's do a quick gut check here, and we'll just go, we'll do Ben, Paul, and then Colby. Like, what, if you just had to name one learning resource, like, what would you recommend people? You know, it can be whatever, right? Like Evented Mind or Discover Meteor. Like, personally, I'm going to put my claim on the Meteor docs. I think they're actually really, really good. And they've done a great job with that. And I actually, like, maybe most people don't know this, but you can type, you can start typing when you're on the page, and it will filter down and show you all the different API calls.
And he's gone. I'm taking the podcast. Let's get Josh out of here. Oh my gosh, he's back. I thought this was going to be the Ben Club.
Stupid internet.
Josh, you just started. We heard you. You can type. Started to tell us about the shortcuts.
Oh yeah, so you can type in the Meteor docs, and then you know, it'll filter down the API list and show you the different things that might match, and you can use the arrow keys and kind of move around, and hit enter, and it'll take you to that spot in the docs. And I think it's pretty awesome, personally. I think it's like one of the greater resources that's out there, and they've done a good job with that. Definitely comparing to something like Rails or.
I feel like, well, then,
yeah. I think the Meteor gods do not want to hear your voice today, Josh.
I guess not. All right. So, can you guys hear me again?
Yeah.
All right. For now.
All right. So you go, Ben.
Yeah, I think at the beginning I would have said Discover Meteor. Was the place to go. And then Sasha did a great job with his blog, kind of stretching your guys, like, my mind at the beginning of what was possible or some of the issues that a lot of people are facing. But later on, I would say I rely heavily on the Meteor docs, and then even diving into the Meteor code itself and just learning a lot from there and how MDG made Meteor. And I love that it's all open source. And then even just learning stuff about JavaScript, diving into the core like that. I would have to say those are my biggest learning resources in the past, I don't know, 5 months, 6 months. Those are the big ones.
So my recommendation, I'm going to second what Josh said about the Meteor docs. And I think that the first place anyone should start is probably the tutorials that are on the site, or the tutorial that is on Meteor site, meteor.com/try, I think it is. And so I would work through that, definitely build it. I'm a big fan of learning by building something that you like, as I've said earlier. So, like, you know, start with that app, and then if you have something else in mind that you would like to build as a pet project, you should build that and, you know, use that as a resource. And then Discover Meteor is another good one that I think is good because they go in depth in a lot of topics that might come up in building a real world app. So beyond just the very simple, most basic thing you could do, beyond that, you start to get into some questions that you have to ask, like, oh, so how would you do this? And I think Discover Meteor touches on a lot of those things that would kind of parallel what you might be doing in a typical app that you might be building for yourself. And the last thing I would say about that is like, try to make it be something that is that is kind of well suited for Meteor. So make sure there's some UI, a couple of simple collections that you know, like your a data model that is not too complicated or doing anything too crazy, so that it can kind of be like a parallel structure to, say, Telescope would be the best thing. And then you can look at that. You can look at Discover Meteor as kind of a guide, and whatever you come across, you look at how they solved it, and then you implement it yourself rather than just copying and pasting.
Yeah, definitely awesome. Yeah. How about you, Kobe?
Okay, yeah, definitely. So I have to kind of agree and expand on what you're saying, Paul, because building apps is what really got me to learn stuff, because I can sit there and I can read a book or just look at what other people suggest doing, but I don't actually learn it until I start implementing a lot of the stuff. So yeah, I started with Discover Meteor, but I really started to learn it when I just had those projects as reference. I just had the various different code bases as reference. So if you can find, if you can do an app like that and have it as a reference, to go back and, like, how do you do this? You know, how do I make a route go here? Or, like, what is the name of that function I need? That's always good to have to as you're building your own app. But I really started to understand Meteor really well. I read through Meteor in Action, and I have to say, I don't really know. At this point, I don't know what would be the best starting point. But at some point, I'd say definitely giving giving a read on Meteor in action is probably going to help a lot of people out, just because they are very descriptive, and you kind of understand a lot more of what's happening in Meteor at that point. And so when I finished reading through that book, that's when things just kind of clicked for me. I was like, okay, I really am starting to get this now. So I had the program from Discover Meteor, and I had like one of the little apps from Invented Mind, and I just have them open, and the project is just like reference projects, and I just go in and I look at it. So I think as there's more, maybe you guys have some examples too, but just having like, if you can just clone a repo that's got, you know, more than just a basic app, and you can just go in and look at it when you're building your own app, I think that's super helpful, because Meteor is so simple that it is easy enough to just go in there and find what's going on. It's easy to just look at the code and see what's happening, whereas like in other frameworks, it's like, man, there's so much stuff going on, and like, I don't even know where to look, but. It's my recommendation,
I'd say. Yeah, nice. So for me, yeah, that's like the way I structured 8 days of Meteor as well, because I feel like learning to read code is an important part of people kind of, you know, learning the language or learning the framework. And so with 8 days of Meteor, like you get a lesson, it's like a paragraph or two, you get some goals, and then you get like open source examples of people that have implemented this kind of code, and those, like, that should help you get to your goal, right? And right. I don't know, I think that's a good way to learn. I don't know, I'm kind of curious to hear what you think. Like, you signed up for 8 days of Meteor, didn't you, Colby?
Yeah. Yeah, so I agree. I like that you suggest, because you kind of suggest the way that I would recommend for people to learn, which is you kind of structure your learning by putting various resources together. So you can look through books, you can look through the docs, and you can look at other examples. And when you put those three things together and you see how things are put together from various angles, that's, I think, and obviously, and then building your own app on top of that, I feel like that's kind of the way that you can really solidify your knowledge of something. And so the way you've structured that is pretty much promoting that exact learning style of okay, check this out, now go read the docs, now go do this thing, and then look at this example for backup. So that's pretty much what I was recommending too. So yeah, good point. 8 days of Meteor, of course, and then you have the video that's in there as well.
Yeah, hands-on is key. Don't just read, make sure you do.
Yeah.
And I think also, you know, you like things like 8 days of Meteor, I would recommend like spend a little bit of money and buy some of that type of material, like buy Discover Meteor, like sign up for Invented Mind, because you know you can save yourself a lot of time by using like the best materials that are available. There's a ton of stuff available for free that's good, and you'll probably go off and explore things where you need to search for the answers to something specific. But I think it's definitely worth, you know, signing up for workshops and things like that too.
Yeah. So that's really interesting. That's what I was wondering. Paul, you have a workshop that you run out in Toronto with your guys out there. And Josh, you have a virtual workshop that you run, a couple of them. And like, I'm wondering where that all fits in. I took Josh's workshop one of the first times it was available, or maybe number four. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But I was already fairly familiar with Meteor at that point. And just taking the workshop was more to see how someone works through something live. And I really appreciated how Josh doesn't just go through a script every time he does the workshop. He constantly expands. And so he runs into real life problems and seeing how someone would come across that, how they would fix it, things like that. Like that was huge for me taking the workshop. And I think that was well worth it at that point. But where do you guys see workshops fitting in? And everything that's out there right now.
Yeah, so I think there's a lot of people that are trying to just either motivate themselves to do it, or else just like get it done quicker. So I mean, you could definitely, if you could do it, you can take a weekend and you know, work through Discover Meteor, like both days solid. Ignore your email, ignore everything else, just like get in there and do it. I think that's great. I would recommend that first if you can do it. And if it's not working, then yeah, like, I mean, a lot of people are busy. I've taken workshops for things that I could have just as easily learned on my own, but I just I did it because it kind of forced me to, you know, you sign up in advance, you clear your schedule that day and maybe get your boss to pay for it if you can, or whatever. And it just, once you've signed up for it, then you're pretty much like set to do it. Kind of forces you to.
Yeah.
Would you say that there's a benefit to workshops more than just like the motivation factor, or like even like an accountability factor that you were mentioning?
Well, I'm biased. So, I mean, I think it's good to be able to work together with someone and ask them questions and things. So,
yeah, I would think that would be a huge point.
Yeah, I think for me, there's like levels, right? And I think some people can come in and learn. And with something like 8 Days of Meteor, I think that's self-paced and can work well for people who are motivated enough to maybe pick it up and roll with that and feel comfortable. But I also think there's a class of people that are maybe like, hey, I need my hand held a little bit more and I need to be walked through this stuff a little bit more. And, you know, I want someone to give me a more guided tour than what maybe these emails are doing or these videos are doing. And so that's, to me, where workshops tend to come in.
So let me finish what Josh was saying. Oh, he's back. Darn it.
Oh, man.
This is probably going to sound funny because, like, I'm recording on my end, so I probably sound fine.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to mute yourself in post-production.
Yeah. <That's funny.
laughs> Make it sound worse than post.
But yeah, no, I think workshops kind of play that like high end, like I want someone to really just like mind meld with me on Meteor and level me up much, much faster than I might do on my own. And I think that's where that stuff fits in.
Yeah. So Kobe, hearing these things, like, would you take a boot camp?
You know, that's interesting because like if you're looking up boot camps, most of them are all going to be for like Rails, right? So I guess because that's where a lot of the job market is or whatever, or has been in the past. So I think that boot camp is probably like the best way for someone to get in there and learn, because learning on your own is very hard. I mean, I'm really good at it and stuff, but I definitely know I would be able to learn, you know, probably like 5 times faster at least if I was in a boot camp with people that, you know, with directed learning, they can say, hey, here's the stuff that you've got to focus on. And I can just knock stuff out. You have someone to ask questions, because there's going to be times. And that's, I guess, another reason you want to like find a community of people to talk to that know Meteor, because when you get stuck on something and you don't know where to look, that's probably one of the most like demotivating factors of teaching yourself. So yeah, I'd say if you're in a position to be able to take a workshop or a boot camp, that's 100% what I would recommend. Even though I haven't done it personally, I've talked to enough people that have done it and have benefited enough from it that if I was in a position to go to a workshop or boot camp right now, I would totally attend one for sure. That's without a doubt.
Yeah, Colby, that's huge. The social motivation, like if you can work on it with people, I mean, don't let that stop you because you don't have a buddy. But if you can, that's obviously the best. We have a couple of like 9-week developer boot camps here in Toronto. None of them are Meteor, but they're all kind of Rails focused. But a few years ago, I helped set up one of the first one, which is called Bitmaker Labs. And a lot of times people ask me now, is it good? Should I go? And I say, like, you should go, because if you want to like spend nine, this is a 9-week course that they do. And if you want to take 9 weeks of your life and just focus and do it with people that are similarly motivated, even if there were no teachers, like, don't expect that any teacher is going to do anything magical for you. But the fact that you're just there to focus with a bunch of people that are motivated is enough. You could do that without a teacher and it would be amazing.
I agree with that, man. One of the other guys in the actual Meteor Club chat room, I've been good friends with here now recently, and we were both kind of learning Meteor at the same time. And one of the most fun things for me is just being able to kind of group up. We've paired on a few projects just for fun. And, you know, maybe I don't know if I'm unique in that, but I really love pairing. It's like one of my favorite things to do. So if you can find someone else who's learning Meteor, it's just so much more fun to learn whenever you've got someone else kind of struggling through the same stuff. You can help them with their problems and they help you with yours, and you can talk those things out. it just makes the whole process feel like you're not alone, and there's a lot of other people. You get the whole like imposter syndrome thing going on when you're doing things on your own. Like, man, I'm not good enough. I don't know what I'm doing. But when you see other people have the same problems as you that have been doing it for longer than you, then it just makes you feel better about the struggles that you're going through, I think. So,
well, to me, I think the biggest thing about coding or programming in general is the fact that most of us have no freaking clue what we're doing, right? We accumulate knowledge over time, but most of the time, we're just winging it and trying to figure out what's going to work. And you're iterating over and changing code and doing different things. And then all of a sudden, boom, it works and you move on, you know? And
yeah.
There's no magic here. There's no, my wife's always oh, I bet you're so good at math. I'm not great at math.
Yeah.
There's no secret to programming. There's some logic structure, but that's about it. So no, but I would definitely second pair programming to me is amazing because you hit all these little stupid bugs. And when you're pair programming, your pair, even if they only spot it 50% of the time, that's a huge time savings.
I would have to second what all you guys are saying about pair programming. I just recently started opening up my schedule over at the co-working place that I'm at. And I just, we have a Chicago Meteor Club or a Meteor Group Slack channel. And I just let people know when my open hours are and always have people come by and take up an hour and just sitting side by side. And these are guys that I kind of know where they're at. And then sometimes I'm surprised at just some of the core things that I can help them with and understand. And then we're able to dive into why that happens and the bigger picture so that we can help them become concrete in their mind. And going through a book or a video and not having that one-on-one interaction where both people can see how the other person communicates, you're missing out on some opportunities to learn on both sides. So it's definitely huge. I know Paul and I, we pair quite a bit and I love every minute of it. So it's rocking.
You know, another interesting thing about learning is that, it's totally different to learn a new framework versus learning how to program in the first place. And so I think there's probably some people listening to this they've been developing for a while and they're familiar with some other framework and you know, the whole process of debugging and everything that you do and learning how to learn and how just what you do when you're stuck on something that's familiar. And in that case, you'll do different things. But if you're learning how to program for the first time, that's also different. So we had a good conversation with somebody after one of my workshops recently. And he was one of the, we try to have, try to make sure that people have some programming experience. And this particular guy did, but he had not had professional development experience. So he hadn't had a lot of experience actually debugging. And so that's something that kind of is hard for people when they're just starting out is what do you do when you debug? Not to get frustrated, you'll eventually get it. It's going to work, but learning to just sort of go through the debugging process can really get in the way of learning a new tool.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. I mean, because I did a lot of Flash development years ago. So I guess I'm coming into Meteor, even though I'm new at Meteor, I do kind of understand how to program and how to figure things out. So, but that you make a good point there because it is difficult at first. You have to really train your mind to know how to look up the answers to issues. Cause I guess that's really all programming is just looking up answers to things and knowing where to look. And once you learn how to find answers, the rest is really simple and it becomes kind of boilerplate. And I guess that's another reason why I like Meteor is a lot of the stuff is taken care of for you and you're just left with the fun parts really.
Very cool. So I'm interested, Paul and Josh, where do you guys see the future of Meteor education going? Are we on the right path right now? Are there some big things now that Meteor is locked down that we can do differently? Now that there's just going to be a whole wave of new people coming in, new projects starting up, What's your guys' take on the future?
Sorry, Paul.
Go for it, man.
Me? Okay. Yeah, I just think there's going to be a lot more, and which is great for everybody. Like there's so many new screencasts that I see all the time. There's a lot more material just being produced all the time now. So I think that's a really good thing. More books is a good thing. More everything. I think that's good. We're working on putting our course online at some point soon. I think it's going to be a different format than just kind of like the workshop style, more of everything.
Yeah, I would agree with that. Like, I think more podcasts, obviously, like it's really awesome that, you know, we've got three different podcasts now on Medium.
he's just not allowed to talk today. That's just what's going to happen.
Yeah.
It's probably going to sound like he's talking whenever the podcast comes out, but you're interrupting him because we don't hear him.
Can you guys hear me now?
Yeah,
we can.
All right. Yeah, I was just saying, I think more of, you know, like we've got more podcasts now and that's great. I'd love to see that to continue expanding. And I think more like quality video content. I think a lot of people consume video. So that, I think that would definitely be a big win. And, you know, personally, I'm taking the Mastering Meteor class that I've done, and I've recorded like 7 or 8 times now, and chopping that up and putting it into a self-paced course that's going to be a little bit cheaper. And so hopefully people, if it's a little more affordable, I think I'm going to put it at like a $299 price point. I think that stuff, you know, that's the direction I want to take it anyway. And I definitely want to, I've got some thoughts around maybe doing a Railscast-esque type of offering as well. I think that's maybe the one place we're missing things right now, little 10-minute bite-sized videos that show you how to accomplish like one thing, you know? So
great.
I'd love to get into that at some point if I can.
What do you guys think about Meteor and like a boot camp, a 3-month boot camp instead of a workshop?
I think it's a perfect fit. Sorry, go ahead, Josh.
I was going to say, I don't know. I'm not a huge fan of boot camps. I feel like, number one, I could build a Meteor app probably in like 8 weeks flat, like a solid production quality Meteor app for someone in 8 weeks. So I find like it'll probably take me less time to teach it, I think, and give people all the parts that they need. And so like you'd spend, I think a lot of the time with a bootcamp, you spend teaching people JavaScript and Git and other things that aren't necessarily Meteor related. So.
Right. It's like a whole circle, but like having Meteor as your base instead of Rails, I guess that's what I'm.
But I find them to be cost prohibitive maybe. And that's where my problem comes into it. Like my wife has several times said, you know, maybe I want to become a designer rather than a writer. And she looks at like what a bootcamp would cost her. And she's like, I don't like, how are we ever going to afford $15,000, $20,000 to go take this bootcamp for, you know, weeks on end?
You know, I'm a big fan of bootcamps actually. I'm personally not good at teaching absolute beginners that are new to programming. You know, my kind of sweet spot for teaching is somebody that knows how to program and teach them like, you know, they're already like at least beginner or intermediate level. But I think boot camps are really valuable for people that are getting started. They know they want to make a career change. And, you know, when you talk about the cost, I think the opportunity cost of taking them is actually the most expensive part. You know, like a typical thing, even if it's like $10,000 or whatever, but if you think taking 2 months or quitting your job, taking 2 months just to do nothing else but write code, that's also very expensive. So yeah, I mean, it is hugely expensive. But then, you know, having been involved with BitMaker Labs here in Toronto, I see that the people from the very first cohort where I was involved with and, you know, setting that up, I kept in touch with a lot of those people, and everybody that I kept in touch with, they all got a job right away. So I think that cost pays for itself. I mean, great. If you can just like do stuff in your evenings and weekends and, and then make the switch to from, you know, some other career or get started as a developer, then sure, do it. But if you're for somebody that is getting started from zero, I think it's really valuable to go through that with a whole bunch of people together.
Yeah. So I think for me, like, I'm maybe more a fan of something like Thoughtbot's apprentice program, where maybe people level up a little bit and understand Git and maybe understand a little bit of JavaScript. And then they come in and they pair with someone senior on like a real working project where they're making some money and they start to level up that way. Because I mean, I look back on how I learned JavaScript and it was very much like, you know, I was at Gaslight, they believed in pair programming, and I was pairing every day with a guy that knew JavaScript well, and we were working on a backbone application. And I feel like after 3 or 4 months, you know, boom, like I kind of knew what I was doing and could start working on my own. And I don't know. I think maybe to me, like I would love to have some kind of actual apprenticeship program going where people could come in at less of a cost.
And to be clear, I think it's more for like what level you're at. I think for like somebody that's really new to programming and everything, I think the Thoughtbot, for example, the Thoughtbot apprentice program, or you know, anything like that, you're going to need to be at the level that you would be after graduating from a boot camp, or after having spent some time on your, like a significant amount of time learning on your own, or you know, having had another job. So I think the value of those like boot camps is for people that are really getting started.
Yeah, the apprenticeship, you wouldn't want to be walking through like the super basics. The senior guy would be super annoyed pretty quick, I would assume.
Well, yeah, like I talked to Saran from the Code Newbies community, and you know, she did a boot camp and then worked for like a year, and now she's doing the Thoughtbot apprentice program. So I mean, they're not going to just accept anyone who's like, hey, I want to learn, you know, like, okay, well, show me your development experience first, right? So that's to really level yourself up to the next. But I think for someone who's like, all right, I don't really know HTML or CSS yet, like, what is programming? I think the best thing for someone who wants to learn fast, maybe they're making a career switch and they have the money and the opportunity, I think going into boot camp is going to be the fastest and most effective way for them to get all the things that they need. You know, I learned a lot on my own, but it was difficult, and there was a lot of like, there's so many resources out there that it's easy to get sidetracked. It's easy to get demotivated. Having other people around you to learn with and having instructors to help you out, I think is probably one of the most beneficial things as a like absolute beginner for sure. So again, it just goes back to what level you're at for sure.
Yeah. And then Kobe, like eventually everyone wants to get a job, doing media once they dive into it.
Yeah.
Right. And having the boot camp, that's the second part of a boot camp right there. Like they're committed to you just like you are committed to them. And when you graduate, it sounds like they like follow through to help you with job placement and things like that. And I see that a lot come up. Like people dive into media and now they're like, hey, I wanna do media full time. And that was me a couple months ago. Diving into media, I'm like, holy cow, this is the life for me.
And yeah, exactly.
Start doing the dance everywhere. So I could see where a bootcamp would even come in and offer a huge amount of resources to the community in that kind of way, or a service to the community.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there just aren't enough jobs, I think, right now in media for those types of bootcamps to be focusing on it, because they're in order to sell their program, people need to know that they're going to graduate with the skills to start at a job like the next day. And with right now, really the reality is with Rails, you can. With Meteor, maybe not.
Yeah.
I think in a year from now, that might be very different. And I think that Meteor is a perfect language to look that. I think those types of boot camps will probably be, some of them will probably start using Meteor because it actually lowers the bar you can get through. One of the challenges that they have is there's too many different things to get through in 9 weeks or whatever they are. Like, if it's Rails based, you have to learn Rails, but then you also have to learn JavaScript. So you have to learn Ruby and JavaScript and all these different things. It's too much.
Yeah. So you can cut down. So what you could do, a unique selling proposition for the Meteor Bootcamp is in the Rails camp, you have to work 80 hours a week and not sleep. But at the Meteor camp, You only have to work 40 hours a week, and you could sleep all you want, go out, watch the movies with your friends, enjoy the city that the boot camp's at. Come on over.
Or still work 80 and be twice as
hard. Yeah, I was about to say, yeah. Still work 80 and do it in a fraction of the time. Yeah.
You guys are terrible.
Hey.
All right. I think we covered quite a few topics around learning and getting started and that kind of thing. I mean, do you guys have anything you want to add before we close it up?
Go ahead, Ben.
Dude, I'm curious with Kobe. Like, so when you dove in recently, there was tons of resources. And I bet that was kind of appealing to you at that point, because you kind of judge a framework, or I judge a framework, by like how much there's a community around it, how many tutorials are out there. You're like, wow, this seems really important. I should invest my time in it. But you went in and you kind of had like a waterfall approach, where you kind of like grabbed as much as you can, and you're like taking it all in and all that. If someone was gonna just like take the first step right now, what would be that one resource that you would pass them on to? We might have covered this right now, but I just like want it to be crystal clear for the listeners.
I'd say just go in and build the actual official Meteor tutorial app, because for me, I built it so fast. Like, it's a to-do app. It's, you can build it so quick. It takes you, I don't know, like an hour or two, and you're like, wow, I just built an entire app in like an hour or two. Like, I don't know. For me, that was like super rewarding, because I had been learning like to-do app in Rails, and it was taking forever. And I was like, dude, this is ridiculous. This is so awesome. I went to my roommate. I was like, dude, look at this little app I built. He's like, okay. He doesn't care. But I was excited about it. That's all that mattered, right? So,
very cool.
Yeah, people just, when they're learning something new, I think they just, you just need those wins. So just do something simple and get it out there and yeah, feel awesome.
Very cool. Now, did you feel that tutorial could be more in depth, or was just right, or?
Nah, I don't think you want your first tutorial to be super in depth. Cause that's gonna overload somebody. You just need someone to have a win. I think the best learning resources for absolute beginner in anything is just like, do the absolute bare minimum to show you like what this thing can do. And then you just start building up piece by piece and then diving in to the internals later, once you know kind of what's going on and you've seen a few things, you know? So that's my opinion.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Good opinion, man.
All right. Paul, you had a closing thought?
Yeah, well, the last thing I was going to say is just, you know, sometimes people ask, do I need to go learn Node? Do I need to learn all these like prerequisites is a thing that people often ask what the prerequisites are. And I think not. Like, I really think just get into it. Just like start going like with the tutorial, like Colby said. And then, you know, if you feel like something's missing, then yeah, go learn it. Other than that, just build.
Yeah, I would totally second that, because I feel like you can actually build an entire application, and the only server-side code that you have to write to get started is like a publication, and that's it. And like, you don't have to know Node, you know? So I would totally second that. But I would say like maybe knowing like your jQuery events might be helpful prerequisite, but that's about it for me, for most people, I think.
Yeah. I mean, even with jQuery, like you don't even have to know that you're doing jQuery to like, at first, just looking at a tutorial, it's like, okay, you type in like click and then the name of the element.
But so, eventually you'll want to know.
Yeah, eventually. Yeah. Yes.
You want to know what you have available, what's in your quiver. Right. I guess. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for coming on, guys.
Yeah. Hey, gosh, Josh, you forgot, man.
What?
We want to be cool like all the other podcasts. And we like say one thing that we really like.
That's right.
That week, like something not Meteor related. Like, what do you guys really like this week?
Are you talking about like picks?
Yeah, picks. There you go, dude. What's your pick for the week, Kobe?
Oh shoot, man, that put me on the spot there. Let's see. What is my pick for the week? Let's see. I'm gonna pick the. You need a good pair of Bluetooth headphones, so you can listen to this podcast while you're running and working out and stuff. So I think this is my favorite thing ever. I hate those headphones that have the long cords. But you got a pair. Look at that. See, you know what's up.
Those are the ones I have, Ben.
Podcast listeners. Yeah.
Jaybirds, man. Yeah. Like freaking 150 or something like that.
Yeah. What do you have, Colby?
Mine are the, I don't know, they're I wish I knew. They're like the ACY, I don't know, the QCY. They're literally like the top pick on Amazon, and I just clicked it, and it was like $30 or something. So yeah. It works great. So awesome.
These things are waterproof. They've been through my washer and my dryer. They have 8 hours of battery.
Just that's pretty legit.
I'm in love with it.
Nice.
Yeah. I don't know what I would do if I lost it.
I don't know. Miserable. That's my pick. Yes. Get a good pair of Bluetooth headphones for listening to podcasts.
Very good pick, man. Josh, how about you, man?
What's I'm going to go with an anti-pick this week, and I'll say Apple is my anti-pick because their developer experience is terrible. Like, getting an application compiled and deployed was probably one of the worst experiences I've had in recent memory. You know, Cordova and Meteor have been great, but actually, like, getting that application into a customer's hand, horrible. And I had to get on the phone with Apple twice, and it just that doesn't seem good to me, and I don't know, it made for a very frustrating weekend. So they're my anti pick.
Yeah, dude, you beat me to it. I was gonna do an anti pick too. My anti pick is Giphy.
Gosh. Oh gosh.
Every time.
Oh gosh, let's not get into that. Oh my goodness.
I got to go through there. I'm going to have to revamp their whole library, I think. Dedicate a month to it.
We need, you know, honestly, we need Hubot in our Slack chat room. That's what we need. I think we've got to upgrade this experience. That's really the problem here.
So what has impressed you this week, Paul?
Yeah, so it's going to be Meteor related. I'm sorry. I've been racking my mind for something for the last 30 seconds that's more exciting, but I'm into Meteor, what can I say? So, recently, I think this is public, like Sam Hatoum, from Velocity, he's like the driving force behind Velocity. And so he's the author of the Cucumber package. And so he's working on a product called Simeon.io. And I think I'm allowed to say that because his homepage seems to be up for it.
Yeah.
So you can put Cucumber, you can write your Cucumber tests online and collaborate on them. And it's all sort of like, as you would expect, live, like two people can edit it together. It'll work with your Git repo. And I think it sounds like there's a lot of promise for that. I think it's really cool.
Yeah. 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 So this, it's funny that you mentioned that because Sam and I had a lot of conversations about this, and it came out of my frustration and the fact that Velocity still wasn't ready. And, you know, I had a client that said, well, we wish we would have been able to build tests early on. And it occurred to me, like with Cucumber, you don't need to have, it doesn't need to be in the app, right? You could just point it at a staging server and go to town. So I think that's kind of the start of the idea. And Sam and Sanjo have done a great job, or Jonas, I guess, have done a great job building that out. And I'm excited to see that launch.
Yeah, it's kind of the promise of Cucumber is that, I mean, it doesn't have to be this way, but like, you know, the holy grail of it is that the stakeholders, your client or whatever, can actually, you can specify the work that you're doing as, you know, in Cucumber because it's plain English readable, and putting it online in a way like he's done with Simeon.io that they can at least read it, but maybe even edit it. I think that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, or they write it and then you like wire up the code to make it work later.
Very cool. All right, guys, gentlemen, thanks for joining us. Awesome talk on learning. Go out
indeed,
and learn media.
Indeed. And if anyone wants to like hang out with any of the gentlemen or females, if we ever get any on this podcast, meteorjs.club, you can go there and sign up, or you can go to patreon.com, patreon.com/meteorclub. And the $10 reward level will get you into the Slack chat room. And everybody that's on this show is in the chat room. So you can always talk to all the experts there. Mm-hmm.
And the good thing is that the Slack group is actually active. So
it's very much.
Yep. it's not, it, well, there's a lot of site groups out there that promise the world. They don't deliver. MeteorJS.club delivers.
A very passionate group of individuals, I should say.
Slackers. Slackers.
We're a bunch of slackers, man. We sit there and chat and throw out Giphy images all day.
Terrible Giphy images. All right, guys. Well, we'll be back next week, same time. Thanks for tuning in.
Adios. See you later.
Peace.
This podcast has been a Meteor Club production. You can find out more information about Meteor Club at MeteorJS.club. It's pretty easy to join the mailing list and stay in the loop. Again, that's MeteorJS.club.